The lament is from the 44th Psalm. Rouse yourself. Why do you sleep, O Lord? Awake, do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face? Why do you forget our affliction and oppression? For we sink down to the dust, our bodies cling to the ground. Rise up, come to our help. Redeem us for the sake of your steadfast love.
Our text of praise comes from John chapter 11. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace be yours from our Lord, who is the resurrection and the life. There are so many ways that our context differs from the biblical narrative. Many times we have to dig to understand the connections, to glean how we can relate to the text. However, our story this morning from John has striking similarities to our own days. It is a story of grief, of loss. We know that all too well. Mortality as salient now as it was then. Especially after this year, we recognize our frailty. 540,000 Americans have lost their lives to COVID-19. The toll worldwide is more than 2.5 million. And that doesn't count all of the folks who have died from other causes. A dark, cavernous void lies that our loved ones once used to fill. And before COVID times, the scenes of this story of Lazarus' death are also very familiar. The community gathers to console the siblings of the deceased. The Judeans who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. They didn't want her to weep alone. The community accompanies Mary in her grief, bearing the pain of her loss. Though they cannot change the situation, they show up. They support Mary and Martha as they soak in the reality that their brother is gone. Their ears are open to hear about that time that Lazarus did that funny thing and all of the other stories that come in times of grief. We see too in John's narrative the universality of grief. We see how loss can trigger all sorts of reactions. Some are not so helpful, and yet we can understand because we too have felt the disorientation of grief. We see the crowd gathered trying to make sense of this death and assign a culprit. But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" They are speaking of Jesus, of course. It's his fault. They claim that Lazarus is dead, and it's Jesus' fault. Mary, too, comes to the same conclusion, as does Martha. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died," echoing the same statement made by her sister. Jesus, where were you? We call out feeling the absence of God as we realize that we won't see their smile again. The psalmist writing centuries before this understood this lament too. Why do you hide your face? Why do you forget our affliction and oppression? Why, God? Why is life finite? How do we go on? We even get to see Jesus grief-stricken in this story. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Judeans who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Judeans said, "See how he loved him." Even the one who has the power to bring new life feels the shock and the emptiness of loss. He is overcome by the sorrow of losing his friend, his grief compounded by the tears of Mary and Martha and all the community gathered around them. Jesus wept, no more told, because there is nothing more to tell. We understand. Perhaps there is a tinge of regret. We may ask ourselves if there was anything that could have been done, or we think of the things that we said that we didn't mean, or the love that went unsaid. And then the thoughts circle about all the things they'll miss. Time becomes blurred in mourning. What came before, the now, the future all hit us at the same time. And to these questions, to these cries, God shows up in the community. We receive comfort from one another. We are held by others who know what it's like to lose a sibling, to lose a partner of decades. We are reminded that life does move forward. There is no replacement for who we've lost, but there again can be joy. Life will feel a little more lively again in time. This last year, however, the complicated process of grief has been complicated further. Our well-worn ways of showing up for the bereaved were thrown out the window as we cared for our community by staying away. Unlike the community gathered around Mary and Martha, those in the darkness of grief have had to be comforted by telephone and not hugs. The rituals truncated, the number of people allowed to attend severely limited, no funeral luncheons in the fellowship hall, no lines of people with condolences. Not only do we feel the loss of individuals, but we feel the lost opportunity to say a proper goodbye. When we are able to gather again in person, it will be bittersweet. Alongside the joy of familiar faces, there will be faces missing. It will be good to be together, and yet we'll also realize that we are not complete. The difficulty of this pandemic isn't over yet. There is much healing that will lie in its wake. All the same, the community process of grief is delayed, but not erased. We will not forget those we have lost, just as we have not forgotten those who feel their loss most acutely. We will gather to remember, to mourn, to comfort one another. After all, there will be healing, even though things will never be what they were. As hopeful as this story of Lazarus' death and resurrection is, I'd like to acknowledge that this story is also hard. Even though Jesus wasn't there to take away Lazarus' illness that caused his demise, at the end of the story, Jesus shows up and fixes it. Oh, if only he were here among us in that way, to put right what has been torn asunder, to raise to life those we miss so dearly, to undo the loneliness and isolation of the last year. I can't say that in my life of faith, I've seen a miracle like that, where suddenly everything was restored. Nonetheless, scripture tells us that we don't mourn as those who have no hope, which does not mean that we don't mourn. It is human and indeed faithful to grieve those God gave us, to connect with our true sorrow rather than attempt to magic away our hurts or to ignore them entirely. Acknowledging loss is a part of our journey of faith. When we lose those we have walked with and those who have showed us God's love and shared our life with us, when they are gone, we can't help but mourn. But we mourn with hope. The hope that Martha proclaims, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. The goodbye is not the final word. Death is not the final word. Even as tears are shed for those who have departed this world, we praise God for the hope of the resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. In him, we have new life. We are renewed, even in our grief, to recognize the glimpses of resurrection life, such as how we've still found a way to accompany one another through this time of trial when we can't be together. And the way the seasons remind us that winter doesn't last forever. The sunrise reminding us that God provides for us each day, even from the grave. Praise be to the triune God. Because the tomb isn't the end of the story, not for Lazarus, not for Jesus, not for our loved ones, and not for us. Let us pray. We offer before you, O God, our sorrows. We commend to you those who have completed their baptismal journey. We praise you, O God of life, for the promise of resurrection. And we entrust our whole selves to you, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, for the sake of your steadfast love. Amen.